be able to go both ways, so you can't just go from a single end. And if we were to go on a spur and you weren't able to access it both ends, that would severely limit the operability of it. And if you're going both ends, then it also really constrains what you can do on the land in between the two, because there'd be two pretty major level crossings that you would have to go across at either end to utilise that land in the middle. So the most efficient operation that we've found throughout the country is have it directly adjacent to the main line that you're wanting to access.
Thank you. You also mentioned, I think, at paragraph 7.2, around your existing facility at Tremaine Ave, where the facilities are fragmented. Could you expand on that a little bit as to how fragmented, in what way, and how the hub, as proposed, would address that?
So what you've got is effectively with Tremaine Ave, a long, thin site. So to build a train in our yard in Tremaine Ave at the moment, we've got to pull logs from one end of the site. We've got to pull, we've got our domestic customers are spread from one end of the site to the other. So you're trying to build trains from all over various locations. One of our key requirements, we have some pretty rail is a high hazard industry. It's got a lot of risks associated with it, and that ability to manage our responsibility as a PCBU when you're managing across multiple sites that have a number of different constraints across them, that fragmentation is both an efficiency and safety risk to us, whereas when you bring those activities and you consolidate them together in one location, not only is it more efficient, but you can manage the safety components around them much more effectively as well. So when you look at Tremaine Ave, you've got the rail yard where we build trains, but everything else is scattered all around that site, which has been a function of, I think, when we originally built it, not having the vision of where it could be in the future. And also we've outgrowing it in terms of its capacity.
With it just a moment. So with the concept plan for the new potential hub, we have parallel tracks, if you like, for the container terminal, the freight distribution, the rail services, and then the log yard sort of sits at one end. And I understand that a lot of this has been considered looking at potential offside effects as well as your onsite operations.
Great.
I'm just struggling with how this layout deals with those health and safety issues that you've just touched on.
Well, what you have here is the various functions, the various market segments or sectors are all in consolidated areas. So you have your third-party logistics operators all in one location, so you can build a train from that. You've got your log yard and then your CT sites. They deliver to that much more efficiently than what we've currently got. So if you look at Tremaine Ave, you've got toll right up one end, a toll and main freight up at one end. We've got other sites that we're pulling from further down the site. So bringing them all together into one location that's being master planned will drive much more efficiency and more a higher degree of safety than what we've currently got there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have I answered your question?
Yes, you have. You've given me something to think about. And I may come back to possibly Mr. Skelton around design aspects, but you've got me started, I think, on the path.
Sure.
I need to be on.
Mr. Moore, did you read Mr. Fan's evidence?
Not that I can recollect, sorry.
So he's a rail expert, and he talks about the 1,500-metre-long trains and yard design.
Right.
You haven't read that?
No, I haven't, but I'll...
So So you're not really the sort of person I should address those sort of operational technical side of things?
Ask me the question.
Well, his proposition is that there may need to be some refinement in the design that he would expect as you work through to accommodate these 1,500-metre trains. My question is how much is this concept plan, what you envisage will be delivered, and how much is just it's just a concept?
I think that will have to be directed to the team that did the design for it.
Okay. So you're not that sort of person.
No.
Who would be the person I would address that to?
Yeah, Mr. Skelton would be your...
Mr. Skelton. Okay. All right, we'll leave it. Thank you very much. That was extremely helpful. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Now, Ms. Paulson.
Ms. Paulson, thank you, sir. Next witness for KiwiRail is Ms. Paulson, KiwiRail's Executive General Manager of Property.
Welcome, Ms. Paulson.
Thank you. Kia ora koutou katoa, and thank you for your time. I also wanted to take a moment to acknowledge and thank the rangatira who have spent the day here, particularly Dennis Emery and Te Tahi Taipana, for your time today, but also the time that they've given us leading up to this, and I'm sure the time we've got ahead of us still to come. I have been at KiwiRail for approximately 4 years, initially in the legal team, but more recently in the property team, which I now head up. In that function, I look after development, thank you, resource management, leasing, facilities management, Crown land use, and iwi engagement. So can hopefully speak to most of those matters as they relate to the hub proposal. Rail terminals and yards are a crucial part of KiwiRail's rail network, and we're seeking to improve the quality, location, and layout of our terminals and yards, creating a more efficient and dependable network for the future. As part of this, as we've talked about a lot today, we're focused on the development of intermodal freight hubs to improve the efficiency of the movement of freight by rail. In 2019, with funding support from the government, we developed a master plan for intermodal freight hubs in New Zealand, which has formed the basis of the concept plan for this hub. To develop the master plan, existing and future freight demand in the Central North Island was used. The predicted changes in freight flows and greater demand has a spatial impact in terms of the extent of land required to develop facilities that will meet the predicted increase in demand. The analysis showed, which we talked about a little bit today already, the need to provide longer track lengths to accommodate trains of ultimately up to 1,500 metres in length and plan for higher speeds of marshalling traffic. We've talked a bit about today about the three key functions of intermodal freight hubs, being the marshalling of trains, network services, wagon storage, equipment maintenance and yard operations, and container and commodity storage. Having regards to KiwiRail's operational requirements and these functions, we developed the concept layout for an intermodal hub, which was used to identify an appropriate location for a freight hub along the North Island Main Trunk Line near Palmerston North. The focus of my evidence today is on the site selection process and concept design and the engagement that KiwiRail have undertaken to date in respect of the process. KiwiRail has carried out a comprehensive site selection to determine the location for the freight hub, which is explained in more detail in Ms. Bell's evidence. But in summary, this included a series of three workshops and decision conferencing, which were attended by various technical experts, key stakeholders, iwi representatives, and other KiwiRail representatives, and a multi-criteria analysis of a long and short list of potential site options against a broad range of criteria. The preferred site for the freight hub was selected following comprehensive comparative assessments undertaken by our independent technical experts and the workshops. Site 3, being the site to the west of Railway Road between Bunnythorpe and Palmerston North Airport, was identified as the preferred site from a technical perspective for a range of reasons, including its strategic fit with relevant planning and policy documents, its operational rail benefits, and the opportunities for connectivity to the wider network. We then worked with our technical experts to develop a preliminary concept design for the hub on the selected site, and this has been used to determine the designation extent and concept design for the freight hub. In terms of our approach to engagement, our representatives and consultant team have engaged with a wide range of parties over many months to ensure the community were kept informed and given an opportunity to provide feedback. KiwiRail's engagement with the community is ongoing and will continue beyond the notice of requirement process throughout the life of the project. In terms of iwi engagement, and I might return to this in more detail in an update at the close of this evidence, following the announcement of the funding for the Freight Hub, KiwiRail engaged with iwi, reaching out to several groups with interest in the wider Palmerston North area. In particular, three main groups for engagement were identified, being Ngāti Kōwhata, Rangatāne o Manawatū, and Ngāti Rōkawa Ki Te Tonga. Since 2019, KiwiRail has engaged with iwi representatives, including participation in the MCA workshops, site visits with iwi representatives, and various hui, which are detailed in my evidence. We have been exploring ways to formalise the relationships with iwi to foster positive and effective relationships going forward, and we have proposed a condition which requires the development of a formal mana whenua engagement framework, which will then provide for the incorporation of iwi values from the design through to implementation. KiwiRail intends to enable iwi to determine how they wish to work on the project, and we really want to ensure their values are recognised throughout. We view this project as an incredible opportunity to develop a genuine partnership with iwi Māori, which lasts beyond its development well into implementation. We do acknowledge the concern raised by submitters and the Council regarding the absence of cultural value assessments. We're continuing to work with iwi to receive their input and to understand the cultural values of the site and the wider area. And we consider that the mana whenua engagement framework proposed in the conditions will provide the mechanism through which cultural values can be recognised and provided for. In terms of council engagement, we've been working with Palmerston North City Council and Horizons Regional Council as key stakeholders in the region. Since an early stage of the project, even pre-funding, KiwiRail has been working with Palmerston North City to ensure that the Freight Hub aligns with their strategic planning and the city's economic growth aspirations. KiwiRail has also been working with PNCC to understand how the Freight Hub will integrate with their plans for the area, including planned improvements to the transport network, as well as the impacts of PNCC's infrastructure assets that are within or near the site. Both Palmerston North City and Horizons Regional Council were also involved throughout the MCA process. Affected landowners have also been a key focus of our engagement. KiwiRail has engaged with directly affected landowners as soon as practicable and has endeavoured to keep them informed throughout the process. We have met one-on-one with the majority of the directly affected landowners, a number of those meetings of which I attended. The community liaison person, which is required to be established in the conditions, will also provide a point of contact for affected landowners in relation to all matters related to the Freight Hub. As well as the councils, KiwiRail has engaged with Waka Kotahi to ensure the Freight Hub aligns and can efficiently integrate with the regional road network and the Palmerston North Integrated Transport Initiative. That engagement has continued since filing our evidence, and Waka Kotahi have now confirmed their support of the Freight Hub and proposed conditions in the evidence in Ms Downs. KiwiRail has also worked closely with key business stakeholders in the Palmerston North area to develop strategies and practical options to realise the potential wider benefits of the Freight Hub for commercial operations. And we have engaged with various utility providers who operate within the vicinity of the hub, for example, Transpower, First Gas and Falcon. The focus of these conversations has been managing potential adverse effects on infrastructure and assets. Since filing our evidence, KiwiRail has also agreed proposed conditions with Transpower, and I understand Transpower now considers that the matters raised in its submission have been fully addressed. Ongoing engagement continues with a range of key stakeholders that have interests in this area, including landowners in the Northeast Industrial Zone, to identify potential opportunities for integration. We see this engagement as independent of the Notice of Requirement process, and it will continue alongside the development of the Freight Hub. In light of this, I do not consider that it would be appropriate to require a Northeast Industrial Zone Users Group to be established as a condition of KiwiRail's designation, as has been proposed by the Council. Finally, in terms of public engagement, KiwiRail has engaged with the local community and wider public through a variety of methods, including in-person meetings, drop-in sessions at various locations around Palmerston North, an online social pinpoint interactive map, and media updates. Interested members of the community could also opt in to receive regular email updates on the project, and an email account was set up to provide a direct point of contact for interested parties to submit feedbacks and questions to KiwiRail. You also raised earlier the effect on surrounding owners, and this has been a particular focus of our engagement as we continue to think about more about mitigations for the project and for these people. KiwiRail is committed to working with key stakeholders, iwi, and the rider community as the project continues to progress. Engagement with the community continues to be ongoing, and the proposed community liaison forum, which is required to be established in the proposed conditions, will continue to enable the community to provide feedback and receive information relating to the project as it progresses. So that's a summary of my evidence. Would you like me to go directly to an update on where we're at with
your
engagement?
Yes, thank you.
So I wanted to start by saying that it's important for us to reiterate that KiwiRail land is Crown land, and we take our role as kaitiaki of that land and our commitment to genuine treaty partnership really seriously. We've been working really hard with mana whenua and other affected iwi to create a stable foundation for that engagement. And I think that in terms of the framework of that engagement and what it needs to look like going forward, we're generally well aligned. We have had some difficulty in recent months getting everyone together to in a shared forum to discuss the detail or the framework of that framework, acknowledging in particular that for Mana Whenua and Ngāti Kauwhata, they have been in the middle of their Waitangi tribunal, and we felt it would have been disrespectful and inappropriate to, if you'll excuse the pun, railroad over that to push ahead with our engagement when there was such an important process ongoing. But I do think that we are generally aligned in the direction of the framework and very committed to a genuine relationship across design, governance, management plans, and all other aspects of the project. There's been some discussion in submissions about the Te Ahu Aturanga framework that was adopted, and we've had the opportunity and talked to our colleagues at Waka Kotahi about that. Again, I think there's general framework alignment that that framework could provide a really good starting point for what we're trying to achieve, but there are differences in the two projects which we need to make sure are really well reflected. Not least that, if I may, a roading project is done when the road is built, whereas we will be here as neighbours for many years to come. Looking at the condition that has been proposed in Ms. Bell's evidence, I think we do expect that some of the language in that condition will change as those conversations with iwi progress. We've had some feedback on that, and we will, of course, need to be guided by iwi as to how we best make it more specific to enable us to go forward with that framework. Does that address that question?
Yes, thank you. That's good, thank you. Now, are you ready to answer questions?
Yep.
Yeah. I'll get the name right this time, Ms. Paulson. Thank you. So, I had that question before about the future use of the Tremaine Avenue freight yard and what that might look like in the future. What are KiwiRail's future plans for that, as far as you're aware?
Yeah. So that is something we're still working through in terms of what the reuse or release or reuse of that site will look like. The passenger station will remain at Tremaine Ave. That's, you know, freight hubs don't belong in the middle of cities, but passenger railway stations do, so we would expect that to stay there. I think there is some discussion of that in Mr. Paling's evidence about what other uses might look like. I think it would be fair to assume that it would be driven by underlying zoning and by wider conversations with council and other stakeholders about what their land best looks like in terms of future use. So there's no firm decision being made on that yet.
Now, I might have overlooked this. There is so much paper. But we've heard that some land, well, that KiwiRail own around or has acquired about 41% of the land within the designated area. Is there a plan available that shows us what land that is?
I can get that. I don't have it to hand, but I can get it for you pretty quickly, yes.
That would be really helpful to actually understand the extent.
Oh, yeah.
Just noting them.
We can and will get that information to you, but I'm just cognizant of some privacy matters as well, and so how we best frame that up and provide that, I think we need to be cautious.
Properties that are a bit settled would be okay.
Yeah. Well, certainly those that have settled and there's no going back. Yeah, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
In terms of the approach to that, though, it's been driven by two things. Primarily, I guess, some passes that we see as particularly key to enabling the project, but also we've been cognizant of responding to the needs and interests of particular affected landowners. So there are people who are very keen to move on very quickly, and there are people who would rather stay for some time. So that's been a key factor in their thinking as well.
Okay, thank you. I looked with interest at your appendix to your evidence, which included the engagement to date with the three mana whenua. Mm-hmm. And if you could just advise why there has been less with Ngāti Raukawa ki te Tonga. There certainly seemed to be a gap in between the March 2019 to October 2019, then to the 30th of May.
Yep. I think I'll probably answer that in reverse by saying that the focus of our engagement has been with Ngāti Kōwhata as mana whenua. Mm-hmm. Ngāti Kōwhata form part of, they whakapapa back to Ngāti Raukawa, so that was driven in part by that instruction, which was as mana whenua, they should be the focus of our engagement.
So why the change that you are now engaging more so?
As we've thought in more detail about the framework that we're going to move to, and as we've looked at, for example, the Te Ahu Aturanga model, which did bring in representatives of both mana whenua and broader iwi groups, mm-hmm. in reflecting that, it made sense to be engaging more broadly.
One thing, when I look at the conditions proposed by Ms. Bell in this regard, and it's probably just a pre-warning to Ms. Bell to have a think about it, is I'm still a bit confused about how the proposed conditions would interact with the rest of the condition suite in terms of what exactly would this mana whenua engagement framework mean and what would it inform and what surety would we have and entering into it that they had the ability to influence other aspects of the management plans and the outline plans themselves. So, which probably comes back to where you're hearing from the iwi groups as well about the wording of that condition and what it actually means and provides.
Yes, I think that's a fair observation, that there is perhaps a need for greater specificity that we need to work through with iwi partners and before we finalise that condition.
That's all the questions top of mind for me. Thank you. Thank you for your responses.
Maria.
Kia ora, Ms. Paulson.
Kia ora.
Thanks very much for your evidence and for the update. We've been waiting with bated breath to hear. Just on that, I think I heard you saying when you began your update that KiwiRail had been working very hard with mana whenua and other affected iwi to try and reach agreement and understanding what the cultural effects are, presumably first, and then how to address those going forward. I'm interested, first of all, to understand the distinction
between... Sorry, that's probably poor language on my on my part, yeah.
Okay, so...
But
so
I
in,
think...
In your mind, there's no distinction? We're talking about the same group of iwi?
Yes.
as mana whenua?
Yes.
So in your view, that's Ngāti Raukawa, Ngāti Kaupata, and Rangitāne?
I don't think it's my place to say who's mana whenua.
No, you're absolutely right. Sorry, let me rephrase that question because that wasn't at all what I was intending you to answer. I was really wanting you to clarify who you've been engaging with as mana whenua through these ongoing conversations.
Yes, with Ngāti Kaupata, with Rangitāne, and with Raukawa.
Thank you. There have been submissions, of course, from Ngāti Tūranga, and there is a clear assertion of mana whenua interests in relation to the area affected by the freight hub proposal. Has there been any engagement with Ngāti Tūranga?
We've been reached out to by Ngāti Tūranga relatively recently. Some of our representatives have met directly with them. I haven't myself. I think Ngāti Tūranga are one of the 25 iwi groups that form part of Ngāti Raukawa Kitatonga. So previously we had understood that that was the appropriate forum through which to engage with them.
Kei te pai. Thank you. And no doubt they'll be able to clarify that situation for us further when they deliver their submissions. You mentioned in your update too that there have been difficulties, which I understand, in getting together with the iwi given treaty settlement processes and hearings that have been underway in the Purirua ki Horo Whenua area, and that has stymied to some degree the progress that you'd hope to make. Were you able to get together at any point during that period leading up to the hearing?
So I don't think it would be fair. I don't want it to sound like I'm blaming the treaty settlement processes on, you know, where we're at in the engagement today. That's not the intent at all.
Yes.
We had a joint hui at the end of May where representatives of Ngāti Raukawa and Ngāti Kaupata were present. Rangitāne were invited but were an apology. More recently, we have had several meetings with Ngāti Kaupata representatives and Ngāti Raukawa representatives and Rangitāne representatives, but separately with each group. And I think those conversations have also given me confidence that between those groups there is alignment of the direction we're travelling in terms of developing a framework that provides for that ongoing engagement and partnership in the project.
Thank you. So no agreement as yet, but you feel confident that there is a reasonable degree of alignment in terms of where you're headed?
Yes.
Ka pai.
I think in terms of more specifically, we have had some feedback both generally and more specific on the condition, but are hoping to be able to move forward to getting to a point where we're all more aligned on that in coming weeks.
Okay. You also mentioned the Te Ahu Aturanga framework, the design framework there, and that could provide a good starting point, I think you referred to it as, for developing appropriate conditions, mitigations for cultural effects in response to the notice of requirement? Would that be an accurate appraisal of what you'd said?
I don't think we would expect the Te Ahu Aturanga project to inform the mitigations we implemented. It was more that the project alliance structure that was put in place for that project in terms of how that enabled and fed into development and mitigations, development and management plans, representative at governance level, was more replicating that model in terms of how we frame up engagement.
Okay, so you're not necessarily thinking about including a similar type of condition or arrangement within the overall package of mitigations?
I think that kind of framework or arrangement is something that the condition proposed would enable, and it is one of, you know, it's certainly one approach we're looking at.
Yes.
But as I say, that isn't something I'd want to decide without further conversation.
No, I understand, but it's something that's under discussion.
Absolutely.
On the table and being considered. You mentioned that there are differences, though, between the Te Ahua Tūranga project and the KiwiRail project in terms of the way in which a design framework of that nature might work.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just elaborate a little bit more for me on what you meant by that, please?
I think in terms of the framework for design and development of the project, it could be similar, but I would see the opportunities. I wouldn't want to remove other wider opportunities, because in terms of ongoing involvement, economic involvement, ongoing employment opportunities, some of those are the broader things in respect of this project, which might exist where they wouldn't on a roading project.
Mm. I see. Thank you. That's really helpful. Now, just taking you back to your brief, we probably covered a lot of these issues now. Paragraph 6.4, yes, you refer there to the three main iwi groups, and I've asked you about Ngāti Tūranga, so we can move on from there. I also note that you mentioned in your evidence that Ngāti Kaupata and Rangitāne participated in the MCA workshops, which clearly had an influence, I think, on the preferred outcome in the end, and in the sense that there was a desire to move as far away from impacting on Aorangi Marae as possible. But I also note that Ngāti Raukawa don't appear to have been involved in that process. Are you aware of what the reason might have been for that?
I'm not, and I'd probably ask either check or go back, because I thought from memory that there were representatives of Ngāti Raukawa involved in at least some of those workshops.
Okay. Well, I can also follow up with Ngāti Raukawa too, but that would be helpful.
And I think, and I guess the other thing too is, again, that Ngāti Kaupata are part of the broader Ngāti Raukawa group. So.
Yes. Thank you. Now, in relation to paragraph 6.7, I can hear you talk about Kiwi Rail exploring ways to formalise relationships with the iwi.
Yes.
And the proposed condition around mana whenua engagement framework, and the intention, I guess, that will provide for the incorporation of iwi values from the design, I think you say, right through to the implementation or the development stage. Are you able to comment at this stage, I mean, recognising what you've just said, that discussions are ongoing and there seems to be a reasonable degree of alignment, but are you able to comment on the extent to which iwi have agreed to the concept, if you like, of a mana whenua engagement framework? Have they bought into that concept?
I believe so, and there's definitely been indications from all three of the groups that I've discussed that they would welcome a framework, you know, similar to the Te Ahua Tūranga framework, so, which I think is probably, as I say, I don't want to just... It wouldn't be appropriate to adopt wholesale a framework that's been used for quite a different project, but I think we're all reasonably aligned that that provides a strong starting point.
That's actually really helpful, getting that clarification from you, though, in terms of what you envisage the Mana Whenua Engagement Framework to look like. Because I was going to try and get some clarification around the degree to which it might resemble, without some of those other, you know, aspects to it, the design framework that was adopted by the Te Ahu Aotearoa roading approach. So that is sort of the basis, is it, for the development of a Mana Whenua framework.